Good morning. This is Wake Up with Co-op. You're listening to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. My name is Reg Argue. For our first guest, we're going to be talking to a representative of the Riverview Preservation Society, Lydia Mwizik. Are you there, Ludi?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you very much for agreeing to come on this morning. First of all, when most people talk about reopening Riverview, the first thought that comes to their mind is the way that the old institution used to be run. What proposals does your organization wish to offer that are going to be different from the old institution?
Well, we support using, I guess the best way to put it is, because that's a very tough question, but we support the original purposes of these lands, and that is to keep the entire 244 acres as public lands for the use of the mentally ill. And I guess what would be different is that we would like to see it taken away from the word deinstitutionalization and have it like a village-like community. We'd like to have a new model developed for the site and have the lands used for the mentally ill, have like appropriate levels of housing, all the services that are needed. It would be in like a peaceful, safe park-like setting. We can see this being a model for the future, you know, future generations, as well as the present people with mental illness and addictions. We would like to see a hospital back on the site because the facilities, there aren't any facilities basically for the mentally ill. And the treatment and care of the mentally ill is utmost important. So we can see that and bringing back medical, dental, having the pharmaceutical services there. And a main thing that would be different is if we could offer some alternative therapy. That would be very important. And also we should have some educational, recreational and physical fitness facilities. In fact, most people probably don't even know that in one of the buildings there, Penn Hall, they do have a bowling alley. It's a wonderful bowling alley. It's not being used. They say that it would cost too much to put it back into service, but I don't know that anyone has really ever looked at it. We could have a swimming pool come, you know, put back. They need to have all these different facilities available for them because they have those beautiful cottages that are there. We have so many people that are on the streets who are mentally ill. We should be using the facilities that we have. So I could go on and on. Nutritional food services, like dietitians, the chapel. There used to be a chapel there. We need to bring that chapel service back. There's a cemetery that's still there, and that needs to be preserved. There's lots of history there. I mean, the patients, when that site was originally, I guess it's about 100 years old, that site, and there was originally 1,000 acres of the Riverview lands, and at that time it was set aside as a sanctuary and residential treatment facility for the mentally ill and as a provincial botanical garden. And way back then, they had the patients building these stone walls. Well, those stone walls should be preserved. It's a part of history.
And you and I were talking, and you started telling me what percentage of people that have a mental illness are in society this time. I think you were telling me 1 in 100.
That's right. That's right.
If you take that number in consideration, now you're taking it, Vancouver's sitting at almost 2 million. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, you're looking at 20,000 people in the Vancouver area that have some sort of mental illness. Now, let's go the 1 in 10 rule that people that need medication. So all of a sudden, you're looking at 2,000 people. Now, with the official report that came out about the homeless within Vancouver area, they're saying the number is around 2,000, or probably a little bit more than that. But so all of a sudden, you're seeing that the people that are living on the street, you got wondered, like a high percentage of them need mental health care, which, you know, the government should be offering. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, that's right. And I would just also point out, you maybe are referring to that the Vancouver or the police force report that came out. There was also a university study that came out, and they're saying the absolute homeless is nearly 12,000 people, And I suppose that would be with throughout the province. I don't really know, you know, with actually going into how they arrived at those figures. But so it's much higher than, you know, what you're saying. And they're saying also there's, you know, nearly 27,000 people who don't have adequate housing and they don't have the adequate support. So the government, yes, the government needs to step up to the plate here, and instead of putting them out into the community, as they're saying, and where most of these people are ending up being homeless, they need to redevelop this site. We already own the lands. These are public lands. So it's cost-saving already that we don't have to put any money out to buy the lands, and it's just a matter of developing this new model and putting the people at Riverview with adequate housing, adequate support, adequate services. And because it was like in 2001, actually 2002, that they came out with this redevelopment project where they were going to phase out Riverview.
And also, you and I were talking about the healthcare, the health authorities.
Yes, that's right.
And you were telling me how each health authority is responsible for the people within its area. So I look upon that, as I was saying to you on the phone, I look upon that as what they're trying to do is they're trying to turn the citizens of BC into residents of BC, and no longer are we allowed to go from different parts of BC and get healthcare all over BC. And that I look upon that as a violation of the Canadian Health Act.
Well, I believe it probably is a violation of the Canadian Health Act, and there's human rights violations as well for the mentally ill. These authorities in 2001, this is where these authorities started. There were five authorities, geographical regional authorities. Health authorities were set up, plus the Provincial Health Services Authority. And previously, Riverview came under the Provincial Health Services Authority and was for everyone within the province. So that you're right, with the setting up of these health authorities, and if we want to be a little more specific, in the Lower Mainland we have two of them. One is the Fraser Health and one is the Vancouver Coastal Health Authorities. They're fighting each other for dollars. And now if somebody, let's give an example. If somebody was in at Riverview, which is now is Coquitlam, which is part of Fraser Health Authority, if they were being moved out, being relocated, they technically would not be moved to Vancouver. Now, their family and friends and everything could be in Vancouver, but it would not be possible for them to move to Vancouver. It's a very tough situation, and who's losing out are the mentally ill and the addicted, for sure.
And what kind of cost are we looking at for running Riverview, reopening it, and basically providing the proper health care that people desperately need?
You know, I wouldn't be able to speak to that. I really would not be able to speak of the cost that would be needed. I'm afraid I just don't have figures to that. But even if I went back to that recent university report, I mean, they're saying the homeless, I could take you that route and just say that they're saying that the homeless is costing taxpayers $55,000 a year per person for the homeless. So there's, you know, $644 million a year for the homeless. And so if we already know that that figure is costing us for the homeless, I'm sure that that same figure could be put towards developing the appropriate levels of housing, putting a hospital back on site, giving them all the, you know, everything to meet the needs and giving the support to the mentally ill and addicted. I mean, the money could be there, but it should come under one health authority. It should be back to the provincial health authority.
Yeah, that's why I would support, I'd really support having a politician step up to the plate and say that, look, we're going to start recognizing that everyone in BC is under the same flag. And also, furthermore, everyone in Canada should be under the same flag, because our Charter of Rights and Freedoms dictates in there that every Canadian is supposed to have the right to move anywhere in Canada and enter and leave Canada anytime they want.
Yeah, that's right. That is right. That does say what our charter does say that. And what does seem to be happening, and most people don't really seem to be aware, is because of the health authorities, there's restrictions placed on that. So, and when they're saying is that there's no money, well, it's within that one health authority, and I don't even know how to speak to that. I mean, I find it's just so hard. Even if I go back now to take Riverview, for instance, Fraser Health Authority has come in on-site on Riverview lands and now runs two of the buildings on the site. And so basically, the people and the patients who are in these two buildings, they're not encouraged to use any of the facilities on-site. Yeah, they have the lands and everything else there, you know, so they do get that safety and security of the lands, but they're not encouraged. They don't use the buildings that are there. Instead, they'll take people out to Coquitlam and this sort of thing, again, at a higher cost, I would say, than using the available lands right there on site.
Well, thank you very much, Ludi. We're running out of time. We're going to have to go over to the next interview.
Okay.
Before I let you go, can you quickly leave your email address just in case anyone has any further questions? And also, you're going to be having a website coming up online shortly. Could you leave the website address and approximately what time you guys are going to be launching it at in the next couple of weeks, I think you were telling me?
Yes. Yes, we are hoping to have the website up very quickly. And the website is, let me just see, because we've changed it here. It's www.riverviewpreservationsociety.org.
And could you have an email that people could email just in case they have some questions that we didn't cover this morning?
You know, we will also be setting it up, and I do not exactly know what that will be, but it's going to probably be also it'll be saying Riverview Preservation Society. I just don't know the exact email address yet. We will put it on our website.
Well, thank you very much for agreeing to come on this morning there, Ludi.
That's my pleasure.
And I wish you guys the best, and we'll have you back on once your website's launched, and we'll further discuss this issue because it's a very pressing matter that really needs to be discussed.
I'd be happy to come on, and just, I don't know if I have a quick moment just to say that this is Mental Health Week, and there is many events ongoing at Riverview this week.
Well, thank you, Ludi.
Okay.
That's Ludi Moisik, and this is Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. You're listening to Wake Up with Co-op. We're going to quickly go over to a brief break, and we're going to quickly go over to a quick break. Oh, we have the next guest online right now, Leonard Shelton, a 20-year Marine Corps veteran from the United States of America. Hello, Leonard.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Well, thank you for agreeing to come on this morning, Leonard. The first question I have for you right off the bat, there's been a recent report launched in the United States. It came out through the RAND Corporation, and they're talking about 300,000 U.S. veterans who have PTSD and 320,000 U.S. soldiers with brain injuries and other pressing injuries. What is your thoughts on that right off the bat?
I think it's crazy. I think it's unnecessary, and it's a shame.
And also, you went to Winter Soldier. We had Adam Koish on a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about Winter Soldier. Could you quickly tell us what you saw when you went to Winter Soldier?
What I saw was a lot of truth being told, and what I saw also was that the corporate mainstream media didn't cover us at all while we were there, which I thought was a complete disgrace because it was widely known that we were going to be doing this. And, however, after we completed the information of the 4 days that we were there, I believe the following week General Petraeus came, and he got much coverage about this ridiculous war that they want to continue to do. So they pick and choose who they want to have coverage of, what the information needs to be put out there.
Yeah. And did you also remember a couple of months ago that they recently passed a law down in the United States which said that every veteran in the United States that has PTSD is now going to be denied the right to bear arms, which is a denial of the Second Amendment in the United States?
Yes, I heard that actually over a year ago. It's called the Veterans Disarmament Act. Any veteran from Vietnam, war to current who is diagnosed or who has ever been diagnosed with PTSD are denied to bear arms.
So
they'll send you to another country and fight an illegal war, but you can't have a weapon to protect your own self. I think that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's a violation of the founding fathers of the United States of America when they came up and ratified the Constitution that the United States now falls under.
Another way of controlling things the way they want. That's what they're trying to do.
So what is your thoughts on how, in regards to the Walter Reed Hospital and the health care provided for the veterans when they come back from a war situation, is it adequate or is it basically falling apart at this time?
I like to word it as they don't care. They don't have, the VA system, for example, because I haven't been to Walter Reed, so I really don't know about it. Only thing I know is what I've heard. The VA hospital, they're there from 8 to 4:30. After 4:30, you can't get sick. Most veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder that I know, me myself, the problems don't start during the day. The problems are after hours, and they're not available. But they'll pump you up with a bag of pills. You can go to it's like going to the grocery store, and you get a lot of medication for nothing.
And
they don't care about us.
So at this time, I also heard reports that what they're doing is they're starting to cut the benefits an awful lot to returning veterans from Iraq and even, prior to even Vietnam. They're starting to cut an awful lot of benefits to them and then saying, well, you didn't get injured in theater of war or you didn't get injured while you were doing your time in the military, yet there's evidence of them being injured. How many reports have you heard like that?
I can't give you an accurate number. I don't know, but I know that is being widely said because they don't have the time. Either they don't have the time, they don't care, they don't know what to do, or a combination of all three. I myself had been suspended from the hospital because I was angry. They banned me from treatment for 30 days. I don't understand how someone who is scarred for life goes to a complete stranger to get help that's supposed to help the individual, but then they kick you out of the hospital and put you out on the street. So to me, that's just a small example of what's to come. They care nothing about it. To me, this VA system is like the junkyard. You have a brand new car. You take the car and you put it on the road, and it does what you want it to do. As soon as the car doesn't work no more, you take it to the junkyard. So we're no longer part of their war machine. And once we're no longer part of their war machine, they send us to the Veterans Hospital, which I call the junkyard, when they can't fix or repair us anyway because they don't care about us. They don't give us adequate health care.
And I was at a protest on Saturday, and I was handing out pamphlets and helping a friend of mine who's running for mayor here in Vancouver. Her name's Betty. And I overheard one of the passerbyers. He was talking about the homeless. And, he started talking about the homeless. Well, all homeless are, alcoholics. All homeless are addicted to drugs. And then all of a sudden he said they should round all the homeless up and send them to war. And that right there, all of a sudden, my mind flashed back to what I heard over in Iran and what I saw over in Iran. And also, basically, my brothers and sisters who were in the military at this time, even Canadian and American, and all the veterans are suffering. And I went up to him and I started yelling at the guy and telling him, I'm a veteran. I've been over there. Do you know what war is? And this guy's yelling at me, telling me to get away from him. What is your thoughts? If someone said something like that in public and you heard that, what would you think, Leonard?
It would clarify that they don't care about us at all. It's sad to know that your life can be put in harm's way. And when you were put there to begin with, they didn't care about you. And to say that you're not worthy of any treatment or care at all because they want to label you as an addict because of what you've been through. If they want to label someone an addict, they're stuffing pain. They're hurting. And the only thing they want to see is a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction. They're co-occurring disorders. That's why people do it. It's sad.
Yeah, it's...
It's sad.
I've seen it a lot, and even people there that I once knew in the military, I saw an awful lot of alcoholism. And before I let you go, this time I'd like to get your email address so that people that are listening, just in case they have some questions to ask you. And at the same time, I say to the listening audience, please email Leonard and tell him he is a human being. He deserves to be part of society, and all other veterans are basically part of society. And let's start treating the veterans part of society. Can we get your email address, Leonard?
Yes, it's LC Shelton, that's SHELTON, the number 8@yahoo.com.
Well, we have to get going right now, but thank you so much for coming on, Leonard. That's Leonard Shelton. And what happens is, please have a beautiful day, and I want you to know, one veteran to another, that what happens, you are part of society, and don't let anyone else tell you otherwise.
Hey, thank you.
Thank
Peace
you
to
so
you.
much, Leonard. This is
Take
Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO, is when Wake Up with Co-op. Thank you so much for listening, and have a beautiful day.